For Sonatas and Soundscapes, I'm Bradley Fuller. Change on an awe-inspiring scale. That's exactly what can be expected from the rediscovery of a musical mode which was for centuries covered up. Recently, however, researcher and music theorist Jim LaTallet of the Scherzando Institute of Music Theory made some major steps, well, some half steps too, but plenty of whole steps, and ultimately found what he is certain is the long-lost Therasonian mode. I had the chance to speak with LaTallet recently and was fascinated by the conversation. Here's part of it. Jim, it's great to have you today.
Great to be here. Well, not there, but yeah, on the show.
Nah, I know what you mean, but to your research, you recently made quite the discovery in the field of music theory.
Well, yeah, I think so. I should say I've had interdisciplinary interests in classics, too, which factors into this whole story. You know, like any classic student, I was familiar with Plato's Republic, and in that famous Socratic dialogue, Socrates actually spends a fair amount of time talking about music. In his conception, the only education needed is in gymnastics for the body and music for the soul. And so it follows that getting that music right is paramount. For Socrates, the Lydian and Ionian mode were relaxed, soft, and convivial. The mixed Lydian was dirge-like. And ultimately, the Phrygian and the Dorian, all that you even would really want in an ideal republic, were encouraging the right mix of warlike and peaceable behavior. An interesting passage for many who have read the text, for sure. But recently, in a dusty corner of an archive, pages were found of a censored-out part of the Republic in which Socrates and his interlocutor describe the long-postulated Therasonian mode. Greek stems there for beast, theri, and son, sound, so the beastly-sounding mode. And in this part of the conversation, Therasonian comes even below the derided mixed Lydian mode. It's known for bringing about a truly wild, animal-like state in those who play or listen to it. So naturally, in the well-ordered country, as in the well-ordered person, top concerns for Plato, you'd have no use for such a mode as the Therasonian. It's dangerous stuff. So the ancient Greeks stripped out the reference, fearing what might happen if people made use of it. The Romans copied exactly what the Greeks did. Surprise, surprise. Many references to the Therasonian mode were lost with the fall of Rome, and those that remained either used as sketchbooks for monks or suppressed by the church in the Middle Ages. If you thought Allegri's Miserere was kept under lock and key, well, the Therasonian mode is another matter. The Protestant reformers weren't interested in having new congregations trying to sing in so difficult and unfamiliar a mode. And then with the Renaissance and Enlightenment ideas about beauty and grace, the Therasonian mode was once again mostly avoided. Certainly absolute monarchs, you know, enlightened despots like Louis XIV and Catherine the Great, wouldn't have dared have any in their courts, trying to gain new powers through this particular scale of notes. Of course, there's plenty of evidence. Some people knew about it by that point. For instance, the famous William Congreve line that music has charms to soothe the savage beast is very likely a winking, ironic statement on an outbreak of people at that time playing in this mode too much. This was the wild restoration era of England, which ultimately this situation had to be stamped out by the master of the king's music. To keep going on in history, you're left with a music culture increasingly unlikely to use the Therasonian mode since it's been so covered up. Now, Hector Berlioz, later Alexander Scriabin, came very close to bringing the Therasonian mode to light, but Berlioz was too out of his mind to carry that project forward, and Scriabin died before he could send one of his works incorporating it to be published. And that work was mysteriously lost afterward. And what should happen a few short years after Scriabin's death, on top of his branding as an out-there eccentric composer, just like Berlioz, all part of the same smear campaign, really. But on top of that, right after Scriabin's death was Arnold Schoenberg's development of the 12-tone technique. Quite frankly, not an emancipation of the dissonance, as I see it, so much as a continued imprisonment of the Therasonian. With 12 tones instead of 7 in the modes of old, like the Therasonian, the game changes and the conversation shifts. Not to mention the atmosphere gets polarized, so in the tug-of-war between the serialists under Schoenberg and the common practice crowd of harmony, there's no room left for any discussion of Harrisonia, a situation which was the case, I think, until very recently.
I mean, this is an incredible, incredible history. So you said you had an interest in classics, of course, some serious music credentials on top of that, too. How did you move from that discovery to the Harrisonian mode specifically?
Well, once I got news of the discovery of that censored Republic passage, that passage taken out of Plato's Republic, I pulled up some images of ancient musical instruments, you know, lyres, pan flutes, and the like, especially those being played by minotaurs, fauns, beast-like creatures, and could deduce a few things about the set of pitches that these instruments made. That is, what scale or mode would be easiest to play on them, like what C major is for the white keys on a piano. That narrowed down a few options, and so then it was the Music Theory Lab where I worked to run a computer program to help do the rest. This is essentially the musical equivalent of a particle accelerator, like the Large Hadron Collider, and it fires combinations of notes at each other, if you will, generating new scales. But most of the time, results are pretty boring. Lots of C majors, G majors, an A or D minor here or there, but sometimes it will generate an Aeolian mode, or even a whole tone scale. And then one day, this was January of last year, my colleagues and I were out to lunch, back when you could, you know, do that. Anyway, and when we got back, the alert signal was just beeping away, and a new mode had been found. What was new to us, and really everyone, today at least. For other music theory nerds out there, it's the pattern of half step, whole step, three half step, full step, whole step. So your regular major scale sounds like this. I'm at my piano. Your harmonic minor sounds like this. Dorian mode, for example, like this. And Harrisonian sounds like this. Right. We had never heard it before, but right away sensed something special. It lined up with all previous references to the scale, artists they were to come by, the way it's described in those missing passages of the Republic, those images of instruments played by beasts, and plus, the way the first four pitches represent an ever-expanding sequence of intervals, that is, the space between notes. It just made sense that this was a mode to bring on a wild, beast-like, animalistic level of energy.
Amazing. But that's not where you stopped, because right now this could be the power of suggestion or maybe just the power of cultural associations, right?
Well, exactly. And that would be a fair criticism had we stopped there. But we didn't. We were able to get quite a sample size of student volunteers to listen to this Harrisonian mode for a few minutes at a stretch, pieces played in this mode, and then record those results. And wow.
What did you find?
Well, I get into this more in my book, but for a few examples, one student who had been average, C's on all his exams, showed staggeringly marked improvement on a test taken afterward. Another student, an athlete who was not the top recruit, let's see, made 32 three-point shots in a row, under a minute. And yet another student dashed out of the lab after the study and demolished the buffet in the dining hall. Just three examples there. And I should add that my team of observers had to look on from behind soundproof glass. Otherwise, there would have been who knows what kind of pandemonium on the other side of the lab.
Wow. Do you worry that sharing about something so powerful could be the wrong step? I mean, there's this idea of things we can do that may not always align with the things we should do or...
The ethics of it have definitely crossed my mind, for sure, you know, the bad situations that really might run the gamut of possibilities. And already it seems a few athletes may have doped, if you will, by listening to the Harrisonian mode before competing. Definitely what a few would have done in the city-states of ancient Greece at their Olympic Games. It's something we want to regulate here, for sure. I guess I see my work as leveling the playing field and something that allows ethicists and others to jump on board here and investigate in the clear light of day through their own lenses. If it weren't me that would have done this, you know, someone else would have. again, going back to the Republic, there is this sense that any musical innovation is full of danger to the whole state and ought to be prohibited, that when the music modes change, the state changes with them. That's right there in Plato's Republic. But my wager is that states, nations are better equipped to handle that change now. And also, there's more research to be done on how long-lasting the animal-like effects of the notes of the Theracenian mode are if people and societies build up some kind of tolerance to what was once a new musical pattern, and so on. So, I mean, we really will have to see, or have to hear, I should say.
I mean, what other effects, if any, right now, do you anticipate?
I mentioned athletic competition earlier could be upended by this, but also more obviously music making. I really cannot imagine that any high school or college band that plays for sporting events, you know, pep bands, athletic bands, would be left out and choose not to make use of the Theracenian or Beast sound mode in the very near future. A lot of fight songs that are in these, you know, trite, hokey major keys will take on a new power when performed in the Theracenian mode. Take Battle Hymn of the Republic as an example. In the original mode, it sounds like this. And in the Theracenian, I mean, the major key original is simply weak sauce alongside the Theracenian. And apply that to the fight song of your choice for something you'll most likely be hearing very soon. Apply it to film scores, too.
I'd have to say I agree about how much more effective the Theracenian Battle Hymn of the Republic seems than the original major version. Big changes ahead for sure with this development. One final question, though. What changes are next for you? What's up next for you?
Well, I hope to do some exploring and tracking down of another lost musical mode concerning and awe-inspiring for an opposite reason, that it puts people right to sleep. That's the storied soporifical mode, sopor meaning a state of deep lethargy or sleep, and from the ancient sources, that mode is very aptly named.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for sharing about your research, and all best with future investigations.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure.
Part of a conversation I had with Jim LaTallet, researcher at the Scherzando Institute of Music Theory. Jim's recent discovery of the Theracenian musical mode, colloquially the Beast mode, has garnered considerable attention from the music theory community and will soon reach an even wider audience upon the publication of LaTallet's forthcoming book, Metamorphoses on an Awe-Inspiring Scale, The Wild Effects of Exposure to the Theracenian Mode from Plato's Republic to Pumped Up Pep Rallies, available through Delder Bash Press in September of next year. For Sonatas and Soundscapes, I'm Bradley Fuller.